Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
It's 11 March 2024. We're expecting a very important visit in DC. Prime Minister Donald Tusk, together with President Andrzej Duda, are set to meet with President Biden, officially celebrating the anniversary of joining NATO. Very important anniversary, no doubt, but in a given context, there is much more substance to this visit and significance of a cohabitation visit where both leaders of Poland come from different camps needs to be elaborated and needs to be discussed. In addition to that, we had Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, visiting Donald Trump, where both of them spoke about their peace narrative, which in fact is appeasement from the European point of view, and the quotes that were later disseminated to the press related to no funding for Ukraine war effort. So maybe we try to unpack this and talk first about the significance of this cohabitation format. In a moment, I'll ask Adam Jasser, Deputy Managing Editor of Visegrad Insight, to share his views on the significance of the trip, but also shed light on the security factor that is in the back in the discussions, the policy discussions about potential nuclear sharing. Adam has published a very interesting article on that at Visegrad Insight last Friday. My name is Wojciech Przybylski, I'm Editor-in-Chief of Visegrad Insight, and I invite you to listen to it. Adam, question to you. How do you read the significance of the two gentlemen visit and very recent words of Prime Minister Donald Tusk from an internal meeting, Security Council meeting in Warsaw, where he said that they stand world apart when it comes to everything else, but security of Poland is something they stay united, and this is why they're going to DC together. Is it purely a manifestation of unity, or there is something more at play? How do you read this visit?
Well, I think at the beginning, it's worth mentioning that both leaders were invited by President Biden to the White House, officially to commemorate the, as you mentioned, the 25th anniversary of Poland's NATO membership. But there is a significance in the fact that both leaders are going. As you mentioned, they are from different camps, and they have a rather opposing views on Poland's domestic politics and where the country is heading in terms of the rule of law and some other issues, political issues. But this unity on security issues, on the threat posed by Russia, is something they can genuinely share. And maybe there will be different accents, maybe there will be some differences of specific attitudes to security, but overall they're there on the same wavelength, and this is an encouraging thought, and this is what they also need to demonstrate in Washington to quash any sense in the US, in the broad US security establishment, that Poland's policy when it comes to Ukraine or security differs depending on which party is in power. So this is important from this point of view. There's also obviously a recognition on the part of the Biden administration that although in principle the President of the United States should be meeting the President of Poland for protocol protocol reasons, the real reins of power in Poland at the moment lie with Mr. Tusk. So to remove any kind of ambiguity, both leaders were invited. And I think this is also significant that the Americans recognize that both these leaders need to be talked to simultaneously to avoid any disagreements. There is an element of pressure there as well, it seems, that the U.S. administration will want clarity from both leaders that they remain committed to, for example, U.S. involvement in Poland's nuclear program. We know that Mr. Tusk is a little concerned about financing, about some of the technical details of this cooperation that was agreed by the previous government. Another item where the Americans will also want to see if the Polish team speaks the same language is the question of weapons purchases and contracts that Poland signed with the US. And again, there are some question marks over financing and deliveries and so on and so forth. So these are the two very important topics that will clearly be discussed. For Biden, the significance of having the Polish leaders in Washington at the same time, speaking to him and speaking to probably also congressional leaders, is of course to exert pressure on the Republicans in Congress to finally pass the Ukraine pact. And in a sense, it stands in contrast to Mr. Orban's visit to Mar-a-Lago, as you mentioned.
The visit also comes after the Polish diaspora leaders issued an unprecedented statement calling for ceasefire negotiations on behalf of Ukraine. Essentially, like Mr. Trump and Mr. Orban, these voices from the Polish community, which are then not necessarily representing a majority of Poles in the US, but nevertheless, there was a leadership statement on behalf of the Polish community, called for something completely different than President Duda or Prime Minister Tusk would support. That puts also in question, I think, the real or one of the main objectives, which is not just talking to US president, but also underlying the unity with quite a substantive voters base coming from the Polish diaspora, from Poles in as citizens and voters in the US elections. Don't you think there is a role for Poland's leadership, which spends roughly half a billion zloty, which is more or less $200,000 a year, to support community, $200 million a year to support communities of Poles across the world and including in the US. Don't you think there is a mission also involved of public diplomacy, which is not directly at the White House alone?
To be honest, Wojciech, I'm not entirely sure how significant this statement by some members and some organizations in the broad Polish community in the US, how much importance to attach to this statement. It quickly became clear that not all Polish organizations subscribe to this view. The Polish community's influence used to be significant, but I think these days its impact is reduced. So I think it can be treated only as a sort of footnote to the overall significance of this visit. And I think it's much more important if Poland can on this trip clarify issues around the nuclear project, the armaments, but also something else, which is becoming apparent, which is that Poland no longer treats US nuclear guarantees and NATO guarantees as ironclad. And this, of course, follows from the statements of Mr. Trump, but also it follows from the fact that the Republican Party is delaying Ukraine aid, and some of the leading conservative voices in America recently argued that, you know, Europe needs to manage its own affairs, that the top security priority is China. This is not a new narrative, but it comes at a very fragile time, and for the first time in Poland, there seems to be doubt that America would treat its East European partners in NATO as worthy of actual intervention if Russia decided to attack them. So this is significant, and I think compared to that, you know, the fact that some smaller Polish organizations in the U.S. issued an ill-thought letter will just not really matter much.
Well, it would matter much more if there was a unity of Polish leaders in the U.S., something to capitalize on if you're a small nation, but then can create influence, and Ukrainians are showing the way in this situation, obviously, but also Mr. Orban, who has put all eggs in one basket, and this basket is the Republican presidential election basket. But you touch a very important issue, and this is better explained in your article. Again, a warm reminder that anyone who wants to read it can check a Friday edition from the 8th of March, where we published this argument, in which you don't just speculate, but you recall all the statements that have been made by the government and by the president related to security, in which nuclear sharing and nuclear energy plays an important part. Would you do a recap of the essentially, you know, the most important takeaways essentially of what you wrote, to encourage our listeners to read it all?
Right. Well, my argument is really based on Foreign Minister Radoslav Sikorski's statement in America a couple of weeks ago, when he said that, you know, if America wavers over Ukraine, then some of its main allies around the world, including in Asia, will begin doubtful that America would come to their defense if they were attacked either by China or by Russia. And that could paradoxically encourage these countries to develop their own nuclear deterrence. Mr. Sikorski was very quick to say, oh, he meant Japan and South Korea rather than Poland. But nevertheless, you know, the question of nuclear deterrent for Europe and for Poland and for Eastern Europe is becoming much more than a fringe discussion of some circles that had perhaps advocated it before, when the situation was much less fragile. So, you know, it's an open question of whether this is going to be raised in Washington. We don't have any indication that it would. But as you rightly point out, President Duda himself mentioned that on several occasions, that Poland would like to participate in a nuclear sharing, which, to remind our readers, is a system where U.S. nuclear weapons are stationed in the NATO countries in Europe, and those countries also take responsibility for delivering them, if need be, in defensive, in deterrence terms, under strict U.S. supervision. Poland, the previous Law and Justice government mentioned that it would like to participate in this nuclear sharing. So far, Western partners have been completely silent on this issue. So, and even now during the preparations to the visit, we haven't heard anything from the Polish officials. The Polish media are not asking this question. So we'll see, you know, if anything comes out of this during the visit.
So yes, we need to stay put for any even subtle tones that may indicate such discussion have taken place behind closed doors, which we will not know until long after. The part that I'm still wondering if the reason for inviting both president and prime minister are only that, to call on a unified response and to also celebrate NATO, is that there are also questions and auditing from the new government in Poland about the type of spending and commitments that have been undertaken by the previous government. And in a way, we see that during this trip, Prime Minister is meeting President Biden at the White House, but President Duda, after that meeting, is also going to check how the nuclear power plants work by the possible investor in the Polish project of the nuclear power plant, which hints at the commitment made by the previous government. And I'm just wondering how to read that, and is it not a bit of a calling on the Polish unity on because of security concern by the American side, to actually honor the previous commitments and not to deviate, since there was a lot of communication by the new government that we may also rally European support and increase Europeans, other nations, other governments, participation, the future projects and ambitions related to energy and energy security, and security, strictly speaking, on the European grounds. That visit will clearly limit such options on the Polish government side, don't you think, Adam?
I think you're on the money. Duda clearly wants to exert pressure on the government and on Mr. Tusk to follow what his allies in Law and Justice have agreed on. Duda's disadvantage, of course, is that as president, he was not really in the loop on some of the nitty-gritty stuff that was going on inside the government. It depends how these conversations at the White House go and what kind of evidence or what kind of problems Tusk is going to relate to the president. But nevertheless, Duda made this decision already to go and visit the site. Yeah, it's a symbolic gesture. There's just no connection between visiting a site in the US, which, by the way, took a very long time to complete, and this investment plan in Poland, where the financing isn't clear, when technology transfer isn't clear, and the timetable remains on paper. Of course, the US side is very much interested in continuing this project, but the Tusk government needs to take all other aspects of it into realization. For Duda, this is also a domestic politic game, because it seems that he and former Prime Minister Morawiecki, they want to rebuild the Law and Justice support based on this idea that they are the sort of infrastructure, the grand infrastructure projects party that care about development, long-term plans, and so on and so forth. The fact that many of these plans were half-cooked, that they were not properly prepared, and that they were not transparent, this doesn't matter to them. The main is the sort of the legend that they are building, the myth of being the quote-unquote infrastructure party and trying to rebuild their popular support on that. And it seems that it gets some traction with the electorate. There is a heated discussion about the nuclear plant. There is another heated discussion about a huge airport that the previous government planned and did very little to actually start constructing. And there are a few other projects of this type that have been put on paper. There was a lot of propaganda and messaging around them, but those projects' viability is not necessarily up to scratch. So yes, there is an element of putting pressure on Tusk. But frankly speaking, I'm pretty confident that Tusk will stick to the facts.
I'm also sure of that. And government is quite limited in its options for superfluous narratives and big propaganda moves. It actually needs to deliver, and the main problem is finding the money and putting all the commitments prior that were started prior to the election race really, now to fulfillment in a way that does not jeopardize our public finance, possibility to fund the most important things, among which are exactly the arms purchases. The deliveries for the army that needs to modernize and increase both personnel and armament ahead of a possible confrontation in order to deter Russia from starting even one with NATO eastern flank countries. Last thing to mention, probably just in a hint, is that at the same time, while both Prime Minister and President Duda speak of unity in terms of security, it doesn't take much to find a very quickly an example of where this disunity actually is displayed in foreign policy. President Duda's office rejected government's proposal for replacing ambassadors. The list of ambassadors to be nominated by the new government probably will not be scrapped, but will be parked for a better, more convenient time. So there is an internal game at the same time between the two power centers in Poland, where President Duda doesn't play all his cards in the open. And most probably, as you have indicated, Adam, there is much more to be explained in the context of the national local politics, in which I believe the future of the PIS party, Law and Justice Party, the camp from which Mr. Duda comes from, is very much at stake, and in which President Duda, probably with the former Prime Minister Morawiecki, still hopes to play an important part in the future once the current leader, Mr. Jarosław Kaczyński, would be stepping down or pushed away from the leadership. And the party, obviously, is in disarray. But I think we should probably leave this subject for a separate discussion, specifically on that, on the future of the far right in Poland, given this dynamics. And I wanted to thank you very much, Adam, for explaining the dynamics related to the security and the trip to the US.
Thank you so much,
Wojciech. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until the end of this episode. Please remember to give us a thumbs up on your favorite podcast platform, subscribe to Visegrad Insight at visegradinsight.eu, and check the latest stories, including the one by Adam Jasser, entitled, "Is Poland Mulling Its Own Nuclear Deterrent?"